We're all standing in the footsteps of those who've gone before. We'll all be reunited on that new and sunlit shore. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. When the sun refused to shine, when the sun refused to shine. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching. Now some will say this world of trouble is the only world we'll ever see. But I'm waiting for that moment when the new world is revealed. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. And on that hallelujah day, and on that hallelujah day, in that number, on that hallelujah day. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching. Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching.
Good morning and welcome to worship. It's January 17th, and it's good to be together here at Trinity Lutheran Church. It's the second Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany means revelation or realization, like I could have had a V8, or I realized that it is not safe to make political posts on Facebook. In the church, Epiphany is a season of stories and storytelling. Stories that help us to understand that Jesus was more than just the carpenter's kid from Nazareth. In just a few weeks, Jesus moved from being a baby on Christmas morning to being a 30-year-old man at his baptism. Well, now it was time for Jesus to get to work, to teach the world how to live and how to love. Epiphany. You see, only God can raise the dead. Only God can cast out demons and cure lepers. Now, Jesus is going to be about that and a whole lot more in this Epiphany season. But today, we are headed to a party in Cana. A party, but midway through the party, it became very clear that the host had miscalculated the thirsty nature of the partygoers. They had not planned carefully enough. They were running out of wine, and they were on the verge of being embarrassed. Epiphany. And that's not all. It's also a national holiday weekend. And many of our musical selections this morning will honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and all those who struggled for civil rights in our country. Dr. King was a leader of a peaceful revolution seeking basic civil rights for all Americans. Our opening hymn speaks of the quest for freedom in South Africa against apartheid. I'm going to light the candles. We'll head into the sanctuary, and we're going to sing together, "O Freedom, Freedom is Coming."
O freedom,
freedom is coming.
Freedom,
freedom is coming.
Freedom
is coming. Oh yes, I know.
Freedom,
freedom is coming.
Freedom,
freedom is coming.
Freedom,
freedom is coming. Oh yes, I know.
Yes, I know.
Oh yes, I know.
Yes, I know.
Oh yes, I know.
Oh yes, I know.
Yes, I know.
Oh 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 yes, I know.
Jesus,
Jesus,
oh Jesus,
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming. Oh yes, I know.
Jesus,
oh Jesus,
Jesus,
oh Jesus, Jesus is coming. Oh yes, I know.
Yes, I know.
Oh yes, I know.
Yes, I know.
Oh 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 yes, I know.
Come to us, Lord Jesus, and give us eyes to see you. May we see you in every tired senior citizen and every poor and hungry child. May we see your image in those who are black, yellow, brown, and white. Help us to be set free by an epiphany of human equality and worth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have two gospel lessons this morning. The sermon will focus on both of them. So listen carefully as Linda Wadsworth reads an epiphany story for us. Linda, over to you.
Good morning. The lesson is from the second chapter of John, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Then the wine gave out. The mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serve the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have to keep the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory. And his disciples believed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks, Linda. Give our love to Prez. Carl is going to sing for us at this time.
A dreamer had a vision laid out in vibrant word, bold words of peaceful protest to make the anger heard. But promises of progress ignored were swept away. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or does it explode? It's already been time to wash away what does not serve. It's already been time to clear away the hurt, to end the broken silence, shine the light of pain. It has already been time. Face all of our oppressions, what we can and cannot see. White fright and inattention, willing blindness just can't see. Because we won't acknowledge doesn't mean it is not so. Wake up and pay attention, be complicit in the hope. It's already been time to wash away what does not serve. It's already been time to clear away the hurt, to end the broken silence, shine the light of painful truth, to make the body whole. It has already been time. If fear rises in your body, know it's only just a part of the daily living trauma. Those of color know by heart when ordinary actions can bring death out in the street. Pass time to get a clue and let compassion make a start. Do what you do. So that you're afraid to feel. Just hear the pain and anguish and acknowledge what is real. It's already been time to wash away what does not serve. It's already been time to clear away the hurt, to end the silence, shine the light of painful truth, to make the body whole. It has already been time.
Thank you, Carl. Jesus' first miracle was to turn water into wine at a wedding reception in Cana of Galilee. Cana is just shy of 4 miles away from Nazareth. It is in the neighborhood, we might say. It was a small village that was taken over by a wedding feast. I love the fact that Jesus' first miracle was one of
joyful celebration at a party. Jesus was the life of the party. Oftentimes, Christians are not the life of the party. For much of history, they have been more likely to skip the party altogether because there was dancing going on, or drinking, or playing cards. Yes, it's best to stay away from the devil's work. But there's Jesus at the party. And not only was he at the party, he was there changing water into wine, good wine, not communion wine. St. Teresa of Avila, the 16th century Carmelite nun and reformer, said, "A sad nun is a bad nun." She also said, "From silly devotions and sour-faced saints, good Lord, deliver us." Now, the wine that day in Cana of Galilee was, by all reports, the best wine that anyone had ever tasted. It was so good, the text tells us, that the disciples took one taste, recognized the miracle, and bam-o, they believed in Jesus. Now, I'm not sure what they believed exactly. After all, they had just started this 3-year journey with him, and this was his very first miracle. Maybe they believed that Jesus had a future in the wine business, or that Jesus had a future as a caterer. But I'm ahead of myself, so let's back up. Last week, Jesus was baptized at the age of 30, and I told you last week that this marked the death of the carpenter, that life would never be the same for him. I told you that Mary had lost her son that day in the Jordan River. I told you that Jesus would never return home to Nazareth. And that was true. And yet, in our text today, Jesus does return to Nazareth. So can both statements be true? Jesus returns to Nazareth today, but he did not come back to check on the family business. He did not come back to have dinner with his mother, Mary. He did not visit the home that raised him or spend the night in his own bed in Nazareth. No, rather, this was a part of a preaching tour. His new call, that of being the Messiah, the messenger of God, the Savior of the world, included preaching in the villages of Galilee, and ultimately on the big stage in the holy city of Jerusalem. Our text begins in this way. Jesus began to teach in the synagogues of the Galilee, and he was praised by everyone. By everyone? I'm not sure what he was teaching. I'm not sure what he was preaching. But if he was being praised by everyone, it must have been very good news. Good news for simple Jews, simple Jewish peasants trying to eke out a subsistence life while being squeezed by every tax collector, politician, and crooked Roman soldier. Good news. They liked what the rabbi had to say, and his fame began to spread throughout the region. Then Jesus came to Nazareth. The locals had heard glowing reports about him. People were anxious to hear him speak. And upon his arrival in Nazareth, he made his way to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. You see, Jesus was a good Jewish boy. It was his custom to worship as God commanded on the Sabbath day. And the synagogue there was familiar. He had worshiped there all of his life. It was a special place to him. It was like home to him. Well, let me rephrase that. It had been like home to him as the carpenter. But the carpenter had died in the River Jordan. And now, with all eyes fixed on Jesus, he stood up to read. It was a long-held tradition that those who were going to read would stand up. We do the same thing here at Trinity Lutheran Church. If you're going to read on a Sunday morning or even online, you're going to stand up to read. Jesus stood tall. He rolled open the holy scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and there was power in his voice as he read it. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus then rolled up the scroll and he gave it to the attendant who cared for the holy scriptures. Then Jesus sat down as expected. Rabbis read standing up, but when it's time to teach, they sit down. He sat down, the highly anticipated teacher, the one who had achieved some measure of fame, the one from Nazareth. Jesus sat down to preach. All eyes were fixed on him. All ears were listening. And Jesus said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The text says, and I quote, "All spoke well of him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth." Local boy makes good. Everyone celebrate. This is a big moment for a little village like Nazareth. Mary and Joseph's kid has done us proud. Well, not so fast. You see, Jesus had invited them to the party, but they were not quite ready to come to the party. The more they thought about it, the more offended they became. After all, some of them had babysat Jesus when he was little. Some had changed his diapers. They watched this kid grow up, and they were very familiar with him. Now, Nazareth was small. It was a small village. They all knew him. And familiarity breeds contempt. Jesus was claiming to be called special. But they knew that he was the carpenter's kid, and he was not special. He was just one of them. Who does he think he is preaching to us? This is not a great rabbi. This is simply Joseph's son. And with that, they tried to seize him. And before it was over, Jesus escaped out of town just before they threw him off a cliff. Why do we do it? Why do we insist on turning wine into water, good news into bad news? No, it should be the other way around, but often it isn't. We take precious wine and we turn it into water. We refuse the invitation to the party because we are self-righteous, because we think that we somehow deserve God's love and others probably don't. We are offended if sinners, known sinners, receive God's grace and are invited to God's table. Don't they know who they are? We know who they are. Don't they know their place? They are losers. Well, one thing is very clear from the Jesus story, and that is this. Jesus loved losers. Jesus spent his time with the least, the last, the lost, and the forgotten. And the religious people, they did not like it one bit. Meanwhile, the people of Nazareth tried to kill their hometown rabbi, and the religious ones in Jerusalem had the connections to make it happen. And so they nailed this nonsense to the cross. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If you want to follow Jesus, do what he came to do. His mission should be our mission. So let us bring good news to the poor. Let us care for the vulnerable. Let us work for justice and peace. Let us be agents for good in the world. Every day, in any way that we can, let us be about the work that Jesus was about. You see, this was an invitation from Jesus to the party. And the religious people said, "Save it, Jesus. We don't want to hear it. We don't want any part of your party. Who wants a party for prodigals?" Now, tomorrow in our nation, we will honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He is not honored for his exemplary life or his tragic death. No, he is honored for his prophetic words. He had the courage to preach prophetic words. Martin Luther King Jr. was a prophet, and prophets are rarely received well. Prophets tend to threaten those in power, and consequently, as we have witnessed with John the Baptist and with Jesus, prophets tend to die young violently. Our nation honors Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a prophet who saw the world as it was, fallen and broken, and then he dreamed of the world as it might be. The world as it might be if we would let go of long-held prejudices and bigotry and our own self-righteousness and simply come to the party. The prophet dreamed of the world as God intended it to be, where people would be judged by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin or the balance in their bank account or their sexual orientation. 2020 could hardly be described as a party. It was more like a train wreck. The pandemic and the collateral damage of the pandemic has touched us all. It has been a time of great uncertainty and scarcity and increased racial tensions. After the strife of the past year, after racism has once again reared its ugly head, in the midst of the Black Lives Matter movement and the white supremacy movement, we are reminded just how broken we are. We are reminded that our society is choosing not to come to the party. No, we are turning wine back into water, and we will pay a very dear price for that. For we will miss out on the life that God intended us to live. Now, shortly before his death, King wrote, "The image of God is universally shared in equal portions by all. There is no graded scale of essential worth. Every human being has etched in their personality the indelible stamp of the Creator. Every man must be respected because God loves him." Do we believe that? Do we live that? The book of Genesis says God created humankind in the image of God. He created them male and female. They were created male or female, black or yellow, red or white. They are precious in his sight. The prophet King preached, "I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, little black boys and little black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and little white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made a plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. What a vision! And the people turned on the prophet, Martin Luther King Jr., and the people sought a silence. The prophetic word of God. People of God, we must not turn wine into water. To do so is to cheat ourselves, to cheat our children, to deny our community the abundant life that God desires for us. We must not turn wine into water. We must not see diversity as a threat. We must not tolerate hate of any kind or of any race or of any religion. And we must not exclude any person from the grace of God. Jesus would never return to Nazareth. After they ran him out of town, I would imagine that they continued to respect the traditions that they had inherited. They were good, religious people. And then sometime later when they heard, some 3 years later, that the rabbi had been killed in Jerusalem, they probably said, serves him right. Who did he think he was preaching to us? No one wants to hear the words of a prophet. Well, it's a new year, folks. And I believe with all my heart that it's going to be a better year. So may we work together for peace, and may we seek to join Jesus at the party and invite the least, the last, the lost, and the forgotten to join us in the party, to join us in our merry ways. For that's the way of Jesus, and that is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Carl's going to sing, "It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer."
It's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the stranger, not my neighbor, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. not the stranger, not my neighbor, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
It's me standing in the need of prayer. Now, realizing that we all need prayer, let us lift our hearts and our prayers to God. Let us pray.
Lifting our lives, our nation, and our world before God, let us pray. O God, you have called us to be the light to the world. Help us to be faithful as we seek to reflect that light to others. Give us the gift of hospitality that we might welcome, love, and serve all people. Free us from self-righteousness and give us generous hearts that we might announce good news to the poor, release to the captives, freedom to all those suffering under oppression, and proclaim the Lord's favor. Give us courage in this holy calling. Hear us as we sing.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Merciful God, we pray for our divided nation. May we come together and work for the common good of all people. We pray for our President-elect Joseph Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris at their inauguration, and for all who sit in the halls of power, the People's House. May they succeed in bringing us together as a nation as we seek an abundant life for all people. Let us exercise our civil dissent peacefully in ways that respect the rights and dignity of all. We know that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Hear us as we sing.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Healer God, we lift up this day all who are suffering physical or mental ailments, all who wait for surgery, and all who face death, all made more difficult by the pandemic. Let us pause to recall the names of those we know who are in any sort of distress. We give thanks for vaccine developers as we wait in hope for a joyful new day of freedom. May we have faith in the midst of our doubt. May we see in death the hope of new life. Hear us as we sing.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for the life and ministry of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Give us eyes to see our tendencies toward bigotry and prejudice, and realize that we will never be free until all are free. Drive all hatred from our lives, and let us honor and celebrate the beauty and value of Black, Brown, Indigenous, and all communities, and realize joys of diversity. Let us bear word, witness, and action in your name in the constant search for justice and truth. Hear us as we sing.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
God, give us strength to keep walking for freedom and strength of heart to remain nonviolent even in the face of death. We pray not knowing all the answers for this world, but knowing your promise that we are loved, forgiven, and never alone as we seek to do your will. We pray in joy and in our anxiety, trusting in your grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, the bringer of light. And all the people of God join in saying, Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Please share a greeting of peace with each other. And if you're worshiping alone, take time to reach out to someone today.
May the peace of the Lord be with you.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
May the peace of the Lord be with you.
May the peace of the Lord be with you always.
A few announcements today. I'm going to hand it over to Deacon Amy, our Director of Christian Education, to share announcements for our parish. Deacon Amy.
Just a few announcements this morning. In the last couple of weeks, we have lost two members of our community. Jean Milfs and Barbara Riley have both recently passed. If you'd like to send a card or condolences to their family, call the church office for an address. Adult Education continues to meet via Zoom at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. This morning, I'll be talking about what it means to be a deacon and the candidacy process for rostered ministers in the ELCA. Next week, Pastor Dennis begins a two-week session of questions and answers. Be sure to bring your questions. Confirmation class will meet on Zoom at 11 o'clock this morning, and next week, Sunday school meets at the same time. Every year for Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, St. Augustine Episcopal Church puts on a beautiful service. This year, that service will be done virtually. Watch your email and Facebook for that link coming out tomorrow. We're looking forward to a time when we can all be together again. For now, we know that love continues to look like an empty church. Thank you for being safe and caring for your community.
Thank you, Amy, and thank you all for your love, your encouragement, and your support. It means so much to us. We are in this together. We move now to the celebration of Holy Communion. If you've not had the opportunity to set up your home altar, you can pause the video and do that at this time. Bread and wine, crackers or juice, common elements in the hands of our God, bring the promises of God to us. We gather now around a table that welcomed our parents and grandparents, a table that welcomed Christians of a variety of colors and denominations on this Martin Luther King holiday weekend. As we gather here, though, we remember a Thursday night in an upper room in Jerusalem. It was the night in which he was betrayed, and our Lord Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. He gave it for all to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. And after he had blessed it, he gave it for all who were there to drink, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. As often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, Jesus Christ has promised to be present with us. Let us pray together now as Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. All are welcome. Please share this holy meal with one another. The body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Well, you know that I'm so glad. I know the trouble don't last always. Oh, I'm so glad. I know trouble don't last always. Now, Lord, I'm so glad. Lord, I know the trouble don't last always. Now, oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord. What shall I do? You better run, run, oh sinner, run. You better find a hiding place. You better run, run, sinner, run. You better find you a hiding place. Oh, run, sinner, run. Sinner, run, you better find you a hiding place. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, Lord, what shall I do? I'm so glad, Lord, I know the trouble don't last always. Oh, I'm so glad my hidden trouble is all soon go away. I'm so glad, I know the trouble don't last always. Now, oh my Lord, I wanna know what shall I do? Well, I'm getting worried, what shall I do? Getting tired, Lord, what can I do? I'm getting worried, what can I do? You promised me, Jesus, you'd be beside me. You promised me, Lord, you'd bring me out of trouble. You promised me, Lord, you'd be my friend now. You promised me, Lord, you'd stay right beside me. I'm so glad, so glad. I got religion, Lord, anytime. Oh, I'm so glad I got religion, and I'm so glad, I'm so glad I got religion anytime. Oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord, I want to know what shall I do. Well, soon one morning, you know, when death come creeping in my room. Oh, soon, soon one morning, I'll be trying. No, no, soon, soon, soon one morning, soon, you know, when death comes creeping in my room. Now, oh, my Lord, oh, my Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do?
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ keep you now and always in God's grace. And as you stay home or as you move about, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now our sending hymn, Keep Your Eyes on the Prize, again a tribute to the leaders of the civil rights movement.
Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh freedom over me. And before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me. And before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Paul and Silas bound in jail, had no money for to go their bail. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. Paul and Silas began to shout, the jail door opened and they walked on out. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on.
My dear friends, we are closer to the end of this ordeal than we are to the beginning. 10 months in, let us carry on together, knowing the end is in sight. As you stay home or as you go, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you miss me from the back of the bus and you can't find me nowhere, come on up to the front of the bus. I'll be riding up there. I'll be riding up there. I'll be riding up there. Come on up to the front of the bus. I'll be riding up there. Well, if you miss me from the picket lines and you can't find me nowhere, come on down to the jailhouse. I'll be rooming right there. I'll be rooming right there. I'll be rooming right there. Come on down to the jailhouse. I'll be rooming right there. Well, if you miss me from the front of the bus
and you can't find me nowhere. Come on up to the driver's seat, I'll be driving right there. I'll be driving right there. I'll be driving right there. Come on up to the driver's seat, I'll be driving right there. Well, if you miss me from the cotton fields and you can't find me nowhere, just come on up to Congress and I'll be working right there. I'll be working right there. I'll be working right there. Come on up to Congress and I'll be leading right there.